In fact, there were certain pictures of some voters' card bearing those pictures, and you're wondering.
You could see.
Who on earth registered these people? But you see, politicians will find accomplices even within, say, INEC, for example, because politicians did not register these people. INEC did.
That's right.
So there are accomplices who have helped to make that happen. So what INEC is saying is that number one, INEC is admitting that they are aware of this problem, that they are actually child voters that have been registered, and that they will not allow them to be able to vote. How they are able to do that on voting days is what we're not exactly sure of. I know that there are meant to be policemen at the PUs. Will it be part of the briefs of the policemen to arrest these child voters? Depending on where this child voting is taking place, how is what INEC is saying going to be carried out at implementation? That is my concern. But as to the intention, the mindset that, look, if you show your face there, we'll arrest you, we'll arrest your parent, that is a fantastic mindset. That is how it should be.
Okay.
You are already admitted that some of these people have been registered, but don't show up. Don't come and vote. We will get you arrested. Fine. But how is going to be done on an election day is left to be seen.
So in other words, especially in those areas where underage voting is known to have been taking place either in the past, or we're looking at this thing still repeating itself, nothing significant may not happen in terms of curbing underage voting.
Because you ask yourself, the forces that made it happen in the first instance, because those kind of forces will also include those communities themselves.
That's right. That's right.
So have we dealt with that? I don't know. On the side of INEC, INEC will have done some, scanning through their database to see some of these children, child voters, know exactly some of the polling booths that are involved, and probably deploy, this arrest mechanism to those PUs. I don't know exactly, but I'm just saying that at implementation, it might be a bit more tricky than what we're seeing, because those communities are involved in what happened.
And sadly also, stakeholders have said that sadly, the BVAS machine can't identify pictures. It can't identify.
No. It goes for your thumbprint,
age,
and your iris. Yeah. It doesn't
know whether you're young or you're old. Yeah. It doesn't have that capacity, sadly enough. And I'm just hoping that this would deter people from doing this. Let's go to the New Telegraph. Obasanjo attacking leaders out of frustration. The presidency. We're having this conversation at 9. Well, let's deal a little bit with it this morning.
Oh, well, okay. I think it's a mixed bag. This is not the first time of, we're having these letters. He wrote to Jonathan. He wrote to Buhari. He's writing again. So he writes all these letters from time to time. This is also a very lengthy one. Some of those earlier letters were not as long as what we see. However, I don't think that the letter is should be strange as far as the content is concerned, or that the endorsement is coming out of the blues. I don't think so. Because where OBJ leans as far as which candidate he's supporting had been clear for several months. So this to me is like they say, putting it in black and white. Formality, that's essentially what it is. Anybody who has been a keen political watcher knows exactly where Obasanjo stand as far as the choice of candidates in this election is concerned.
Someone said that Baba should have just stayed on the sidelines and not endorse anybody, like other statesmen who have been relatively okay. So you can come for blessings, but then there won't be any public endorsement.
What's that's not in his character. That is not in his character.
Should he have been like that though?
I found it a bit strange. Typically, when people are of his status, there are certain expectations that they are just at the background, advisory generally, and But for him as a pastor, that is his personality. He's not contented with staying at the background. He wants to be part of it. You know, maybe we should leave this discussion till the
9, Abby. Okay, let's leave it to 9. We're going to pick this one here. Bolanle Rahim, Lagos CP, direct replacement of all policemen in Ajah Division.
Yeah, well, what I found strange about this report is being presented as a routine. I don't think it is routine. We all know what has happened with that particular police station. Yeah. And that might have been the trigger for what is going on. There's nothing wrong if something is not going well in a particular station and the CP decided to take a decision to say, you know, take these people out of the place, scatter the whatever they might have built over a period, scatter it, and you know, disperse these people. It is possible. There are people who are also saying, is that what should be done? The question is that it is the finger that erred that should be caught. So it is not to say that because a Vandy was involved in the killing, that therefore everybody in that station is a criminal and should be treated like a Vandy. I don't think that is how it goes. However, what has happened with Vandy, which was said to be a repeat of an earlier one in which somebody else was killed, we should be able to have a thorough investigation. Because while Vandy is the one that is in the eye of the storm right now, there might have been other guys in that same station who have committed evil. And the investigation will reveal that and ensure that whoever those people are, if they have committed evil by virtue of investigation, the answer should not be just posting out of the station. They should be made to answer to their own evil.
Right.
As simple as that.
Right. Some have also said that, you know, whether the police personnel at the Ajiwe police station, whether they are corporate or not, putting them out somewhere else is just a smoke screen of some sort. It doesn't change the orientation of these policemen. It's just moving them to another place to go and, if they are like that, in quotes, do the same thing in other places.
You see, My take is that Nigeria deserves the police that it has. What the police as an institution needs is not cosmetic. It is not window dressing. It is not, they said they're not well rewarded. Okay, give them 13,000 on top. That is not the kind of reform that institution needs. The problem with the institution starts right from who gets into the police. Who do we even employ as police officers? Then he goes into things like the reward system. How are they rewarded? He goes into training. What kind of training do we expose them to? Now, if we don't fix all those fundamental issues, then we deserve what we get. It is the issue of you post them, the issue of, there was a protest, and then, of course, it is now glaring that the A core issue with NSAS has not been achieved as effectively as we think it was, or we thought it was addressed. It wasn't. Police brutality, if you can have two killings in a matter of weeks by one station, one police station.
I mean, that's alarming.
So it tells you that the police brutality is right here with us. So what have we achieved? We must go to the root of the... It is more... What we need is more fundamental, is much deeper, is more systemic for the Nigerian police than all these ephemeral things. What we're doing right now is still a huge joke. We have not done anything.
Indeed. 7:42. Let's go to The Guardian. We're going to drop the New Telegraph. Let's pick up The Guardian. The Guardian has this banner here that's really interesting. I think we started with this off-air. New Year, high stakes for subsidy, inflation, insecurity. We're talking off-air about how the country can fare economically in 2023.
For me, I would like to divide 2023 into two. Or let's even look at it from the global side first. So we look at global and domestic. On the global side, the world is in turmoil. Very serious turmoil. Economies are upside down. And because Nigeria is not isolated from the global community, it is going to take its own share of that global problem. The Russia-Ukraine war is not about to go down. Yesterday, there were still 63 Russian soldiers that were killed.
That's right.
Though, according to another report, it was well over 400 soldiers of Russian that were killed. Oh. So, when 400 soldiers of Russian are killed, Putin is not going to be excited about it. So, there is no sight for that war. There's no end to that war in sight at all. Apart from that, you see Japan in 40-year all-time inflation. America, 30-year. Germany, 20-year. UK is even thinking, am I going to depression? IMF, in a report this morning, is saying about one-third of the world economies will go into recession in 2023.
That's right.
So from a global perspective, it is extremely messy. Now, for a Nigeria that is dependent, even for food, a chunk of his food consumption, on that global world, the effect will be felt. So when we do all those our imports, we will also be importing part of those global crises into the economy. We'll be importing inflation into the economy. So that is there. We're not energy sufficient. We can't even process our own crude. Well, hopefully in 2023 that will change. If it changes, it will have a positive effect on this economy. Otherwise, as Russia oil is being banned, and there is crisis in the energy system globally, it will also trickle down here because we go out there to go and import the fuel that we consume in this country. Then on the domestic side of things, I would divide it into two. You have the first part, which is from now up until May. Then you have May until the end of the year. I think the first half is going to be relatively placid. The focus is going to be on the election, and there will not be so much happening on the economic side of things. Yeah, the outgoing president is in that mood. Is in that I'm about to go, I'm about to leave kind of a mood. So that may not be, but after that, depending on the choices we make, on the choice we eventually make for the president, if the president comes in and he starts to take more steps in the right direction, the entire world will respond positively, even before we start to see the actual result of those steps that are taken. Just the steps in the right direction. So it's neither here nor there. We have to wait and see how it plays out for us, Nigeria.
All right. Okay, then. Well, in this report, The Guardian says fuel scarcity may worsen over the future of subsidy, ban on Russian crude. Some of the contestants, presenters, are saying that they will remove fuel subsidy. Do you see that happening in 2023?
It is possible. How you do it is a different story. So one thing, I have been an advocate of removal of fuel subsidy. How it is handled, the devil is in the detail. How do you want to do it? There are genuine concerns about the fact that you remove this fuel subsidy, and then we can still not benefit from the effect of the savings. That is a genuine concern. So whoever is going to remove it must be able to convince the people that, look, while there might be a pinch on the left, this is where you're going to get the comfort. There is a balm on the right that I'm providing to cushion it. And there must be the integrity to do that. In an industry where integrity is a little bit low, for example, look at the ongoing fuel subsidy. Up till now, there was a time somebody even said, oh, it was the road that they are doing in Apapa. That was the reason for this fuel scarcity. Now they've moved on to, oh, let's chase on these stations that are selling. It is the stations that are the problem. You know, so the honesty has to be there.
Yeah.
And that is how to court the support of the people to make it happen. Will it be once? Will it be in phases? We don't know. How will the fact that the Dangote refinery is coming into the market, how will it play out on the issue of fuel subsidy removal as well? Those things are there. But for me, it has to be removed. The real question is how.
And that's a big, big question with some gigantic question mark. Because without the how, I don't think Nigerians will welcome the rural subsidy, like you have said. Like, so this is the pinch, this is the bomb, this is, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Let's take the Vanguard now. Emefiele, sack DSS DG now. Southern Middle Belt leaders tell Buhari. What do you think is happening between Emefiele and Bichi?
Well, I think there have been certain intervention. You see, this for me, the recent policy direction of the CBN has affected some politicians, and they are fighting tooth and nail to deal with that matter. Unfortunately, the CBN, you know, they might have files on Emefiele himself and all the rest.
That's DSS now.
Yes, of course. They tend to keep a dossier for everybody. And when they need to pinch you, they can pull up files and deal with that. But what we as Nigerians, in my opinion, must do is to ensure that those cashless policies are not hijacked by the politicians. And by virtue of the way they want things to be, thrown out. If we throw it out, we're still going to be back on this table. We've had a better tempo on cashless policy before. We jettisoned it. We are coming back to it. And then on the part of the CBN, where are the glitches here and there? Are the system robust enough to ensure that, for example, people can't even get this new note, but some dealers are already selling it in the market.
I was coming to that, but please go on. Please go on.
So if people cannot get the new note, but there are people who are already selling it at parties, those are questions that CBN needs to tell us, answer it for us. Between the CBN and the banks, somebody is just playing games and making money out of what the policy is supposed to achieve. So issues of failed transactions and all of that, how do we deal with that? Issues of the POS revision has happened anyway.
Yes.
From 100,000 to 500,000.
That's right.
Those are the things that CBN on the side will need to deal with. But don't allow the politicians to hijack this policy and say, some have even said we should move it to June.
Do you think CBN is trying to run ahead of its shadows, though? Because the deadline is very near. But yet, the ATMs are still dispensing the old notes. Personally, I haven't received any new notes from the ATMs that I've used, you know, thus far. And you have said rightly, these new notes can be seen almost at all the parties that you'd find, party venues that you find in Lagos. Every weekend, just try and, you know, go to any party venue, just crash a party and see, you know, how in abundance you see these new notes. But then go to your nearest ATMs, and then you find that out of like 8 ATMs, maybe one or two will be dispensing, you know, if at all any will be dispensing it.
Incidentally, all the people that are involved in enforcing our laws, they also go to these parties, including CBN people, they go party. Policemen who are supposed to arrest people, they go to the same parties. They see all these things.
What is the role of the banks? I mean, this is not on CBN now, to be honest, but because the CBN does not give this cash to the what do they call them now?
So the sellers.
The sellers of the, whatever it is, you know, directly. So they must have had access to those notes from their banks. So what is the role of the banks here?
I will think we actually need to investigate before we can conclude what is the source of this note that these people are getting. If we investigate that, then we probably will be able to expose what is going on. And then call the responsibility agencies of government to take the actions.
Sorry about that, Gbalawo. Let's move on to the Nation newspaper very quickly. Apologies to those watching online. Sincere apologies. Let me take this story here from the Nation newspaper. And this is, this Obasanjo's letter is...
It's almost on every front page.
Everywhere. Right? We'll deal with it very well at 9 o'clock on Daily Digest. So please bear with us. We're going to talk about this COVID issue, Gbalawo. The world is trying to do one or two things because China is about to open their airport and all of that for their citizens to start, you know, traveling out. Nigeria, have you heard anything concerning travel advisory into Nigeria?
Not yet. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, Nigeria actually removed all the
the protocols,
barriers, the protocols around it, which is what several nations across the world have also done anyway. So, for me, if you look at the predictions about the global economy, mention of China was also made. And one of the reasons why China kept featuring on the slump side of things is because of COVID. There have been instances in which provinces or cities or, you know, have to be shut down.
That's right.
In China.
People locked in their homes.
People locked
iron
in their
bars and all of
if
that.
If I go worse, that at some point there were protests by Chinese saying,
right.
look, this is enough. We just want to work. You know. So it is something that the entire world is watching. So the question will be, hopefully, Nigeria is also watching that space. There are decisions being made as to, okay, if people are coming in from China into your country, what should you demand? At least maybe a report that says you're negative or something. I don't know.
Right.
But our own NCDC and the right agency of government need to be on top of this. We cannot say that, you know, because the last time, it didn't affect Africa as bad as it was predicted. We don't even know what this variant will look like. We don't know what the effect will be. There has not been much changes in our healthcare system to say that if we get, you know, a barrage of this thing now, that we are now able to deal with it. Even our vaccination status is not as high as it could be. So the authorities need to be on top of what is going on here. Look at what other countries are doing.
Yeah.
Take a decision that will protect Nigeria from COVID-19. We don't want that repeat of 2020 in this country.
Yeah, we shouldn't be there. Daily Trust has a story that we just talked about scarcity of new Naira notes. Like it worries Nigeria. It says scarcity of new Naira notes worries Nigerians. Most ATMs dispensing old notes. Hawkers of new notes making brisk business. It's right here in Daily Trust, so we'll not touch it again. And they put the picture of the new Naira notes and Gordon Emefiele on their page, in the front page as well. Quite an interesting read. If you like to pick it up, you can pick it up. But let's talk about electricity. Discos earned 1.3 trillion naira from electricity bills in 23 months. This to me, a lot of people will think this is a lot of money, right? But looking at power sector and what we've been able to experience, let's put it that way, for the year 2022 2021, would you say there's progress in that sector? The other day they said they're going to distribute about 6 million
meters. The foundation was very weak for discos because we didn't sell to the right consortium when we did this thing. It was sold to friends and cronies, so a lot of them could not even stand on their feet. But people borrowed money. This discos borrowed money. A lot of them did not have their money.
Yeah.
They couldn't raise money to invest. In fact, one of the reasons why the federal government had to take up the issue of metering was that the discos could not even afford it. Nobody was willing to give them money.
That's right.
To the market. So all these big numbers being said, oh, they earned this. Why not let's drill down to the profit? So how much did they make in profit at the end? Mm-hmm. Because the top line and the bottom line are what we need to consider.
Right.
So what I think may be in the positive direction is the fact that we are now trying to focus on the weakest link in that chain, which is the transmission. What we have had is a situation in which there is the generation so much, there is the distribution so much, and there is a huge gap between what we are able to generate today and what we can distribute.
Mm-hmm.
And the weakest link, when they say, the grid has collapsed, it is that transmission.
Mm-hmm.
So the cement thing is set to be in progress. There were viral videos about all those huge, huge stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How soon we can finish that project and optimize the system, because that is the actually next step that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Optimize that system so that as much as possible of what is being generated can reach the final consumer, and we can bolster what the final consumer gets before we now start talking of, you know, scaling up.
Right.
There is still the issue of MITO, the multi-year tariff order, and how we have to price electricity appropriately if we are going to get the right level of investment coming to that place. We've not dealt with that matter. But let there be an optimization first.
Okay.
And then we can sit down and have a discussion around the effectiveness of MITRE and implementation.
It's a good place to stop this morning on Dailies today. Bolawan, thank you so much for coming. Bolawan is back at 9. We'll talk about the presidency's reaction to Obasanjo's letter. We'll look at Obasanjo's letter, you know, in full. And your reactions also will be welcomed on Dailies, Daily Digest with Jimidisu. That's coming out at 9 o'clock. In the meantime, we have the news for you. After the news, we'll talk to INEC on PVC collection. And we'd like to hear your experience as well. Since you've started trying to get your PVC, if you've got your PVC, if you've received yours, we'd like to hear your thought and how the process went when you went for yours. Lagos, stay with us. We'll be back.
I would assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire them. Those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like the brand new Chelsea. Attacking with so much fluidity. And what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not